And a hand, okay. And we told Brian before, if a church had to be filled with people who never sinned, a lot of churches would be empty today. People would be walking up and down the street saying, where do we go now? But we're all in this together. So we're going to sing, put your hand in the hand. We'll do this for Ronnie. Just put your hand in God's hand. And church, see what God is doing in this. See what he's doing. See what he's doing. And please, I pray, as a family, we need to be tight and tighter. And if you think something is amiss, I pray, make it tight. Because God doesn't want a house divided, amen? We want this house to be full of people who love him. And every person that comes in is a new branch. Make it tight. Are you with me? Are you with me, church? Hallelujah.
Put your hand in my hand. Christians up here. Thank you, guys.
Praise the Lord. Stand up with me, would you? We have a lot to be thankful for, church. We as a family have a lot to be thankful for today. I also want to lift Chin up this morning and his family. I was hoping they would be here today. I'm not sure why, but they had to leave. Okay, but lift them up and know that they need our prayers to get them back home safely to us, to God's house. Let's pray to our Father who is just so beautiful. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Hallelujah and ever. And that's our Lord and Savior and our Father. Psalm reading 111. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. What do we do in church every day? What tells us to praise the Lord? The Bible tells us we need to praise. So we're already on the right track. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has given food to those who fear him, and he will ever be mindful of his covenant. The work of his hands are verity and justice. Verity and justice, all his precepts are sure. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments, his praise endures forever. For how long? Those are your promises, church. I'm a little fired up today. I know normally I'm up here and I'm not as fired up and I get a little quiet, but in your name, we thank you. We thank you for today, Lord. You know, we're not even going to ask for anything. We're not going to ask you, Lord. We're just going to thank you today. We're going to thank you for the blessings. We're going to thank you for the branches. Thank you for the tree. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love and your kindness and your compassion. And Lord, thank you for what you did on that cross. Unmerited favor, amazing grace. You did it for us. We didn't ask. We weren't even there. We didn't earn it, you did it. And all you ask is for us to love you. Let you into our heart, into our spirit, into our mind. To read your word and just become new creatures, leaving the old behind. So any of the old we carry today, Lord, we know that we're not in your line of will. We're not there. We're not with you, Lord. When we carry the past with us, we're not with you, Lord. When we carry the things we did yesterday, we're not with you, Lord. We're not. When we hold on to things we did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 minutes ago, we're not with you, Lord. You said, walk with me, I forgive you. Walk with me, I gave my life for you. Love me. Love me, I will guide you. I will show you. Your sins are forgiven. You're as white as snow. I don't see the sins. I see my spirit inside of you. And where his spirit dwells, no sin can exist. We fall short daily. Paul told us that just so we know that every day we need to thank him and ask for that forgiveness. Without Jesus, none of us would be worthy. None of us. But because of Jesus, we are all worthy who love him. Draw closer to God and simply thank him for the blessings in your life today, knowing that there are people who would love to be here today. They can't get out of bed. Can't see, can't think, can't remember, sicknesses, and they would love to be here. They would give that to be here. And you're here today. And you have plans for the day and plans for tomorrow because of God and his love. Just thank him. Thank him today. He will make a way tomorrow. Thank him today. In Jesus' name I pray. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Give him praise, church. Man, give him praise. I am a fanatic for God. Bill, the Mets might win tonight. Praise the Lord. He's a big Met fan. I love him. Listen, I have to confess, I am so fired up about this sermon today that I'm not going to get through it all. I have to ask you a commitment. Would you, now Gary and Marcia, if you have to go to New Hampshire next week, I understand. But would you all come, because this sermon is for every, this is so powerful and so, I mean, it's so in you that I want to get it in you. So I'm not going to try to finish today because I don't want to, you know, I just want you to enjoy what we're going to talk about. Amen. So please say, I've got to be here next Sunday to hear some more of it. Are you with me? How to win a war without fighting. How many would like to do that? How would you like to win a war? If God showed you a way to win a war without fighting, would you do it? You see the battles that the world is facing. I see the battles that we're facing with people who don't believe. And it's been on my heart for so long and so many things. I think, you know, that these people are getting away with taking away Christ from the world, from school. Our Christmas holidays coming up, you know how people, oh, we don't want that on the green, we don't want this, we don't want, and I always say, who are these people? And I start to realize, we got to fight these people, because they're wrong, these people who disagree, they're, and I realized this week that we don't have to fight with them at all. In fact, don't fight with them, because you're never going to change their mind. You ever meet, let me use the sports again, Yankees and Red Sox. I could never talk a Red Sox fan into being a Yankee fan. You understand? Are you with me? You can't. You just can't. Somebody who doesn't believe God, you'll never convince him to believe God. Amen? So you have to understand that those people, we have let those people define that they're not a religion or why they're not a religion. They're just believers. They don't believe anything. And they define what they say. No matter what you say to them, they'll have an answer. Are you with me? So I say, I don't worry about them anymore. Amen? I say that if we rise up as Christians, their voice won't even be heard. Are you with? Because they don't stay. See, they define who they are, and they keep redefining it. And the one thing that they do that we have allowed them to do is they've defined who Christians are. How many have ever heard that? People who don't know God, so who don't know the Word of God, they've defined what the Word of God is. Oh, it's slavery. That's all they know. And they've defined it that way, and we've allowed that too. But God shows us a way that we can rise up with, so we don't fight with them anymore. Amen? But we need to rise up and use the power that God gave us. Use the strength that God, and have the commitment to know that God has our back. Amen? Are you with me no matter what you're doing? And I want to read some stuff to you, and I hope you find it as fascinating. How to win wars without fighting. Through strength. And I'm going to go back in time. This is Red Cloud. He's an Indian chief. Sioux tribe. He really is. Amen? Are you with me? Not a make-believe person. He really is. This is somebody who lived, and he was a Sioux warrior, a Sioux chief, and never changed his mind about being a Sioux chief. Amen? Never changed his mind about what he wanted and what they wanted. And never did. He was a powerful, brilliant man. The generals running the U.S. Army could be as headstrong as any Indian warrior chief. Amen? When Red Cloud, ever the politician, recognized this, instead of starting a new war, he decided to take his arguments directly to the top. In June 1870, when? Not too long ago. He and Spotted Tail accepted a long-standing invitation to visit Washington, D.C., and traveled east at the head of the delegation of Oglalas and Brulés. Those were two tribes of the Sioux Nation. There, they were given tours of the capital, an army and navy facilities, with special emphasis on the War Department's arsenal. Listen to this. Where huge coastal cannons and howitzers were lathed and stored. For the first time, Red Cloud saw the true military might of the United States. Ulysses S. Grant, who had been elected president 2 years earlier, gave a reception for him and the others at the White House. There and in subsequent meetings with government officials, the provisions of the treaty were debated, with a plain-spoken Red Cloud acting as lead negotiator. As a consequence, wrote R. Eli Paul, the editor of Red Cloud's memoirs, he became stunningly famous. Red Cloud did, the head warrior turned statesman, and he and his entourage took the country by storm. Newspapers recounted his every word and deed, and large crowds of onlookers gathered at every public sighting of this celebrated group. They were Indians, amen? They weren't going to change their mind, amen? They were focused on what they wanted, amen? You could never change their ideology. Are you with me? The adulation continued in New York City when the Indian delegation arrived there later in the month. Where was it? New York. It's real. Thousands of people lined Fifth Avenue to catch a glimpse. Catch a glimpse. They saw him. Why didn't you just say that? Of the celebrated warrior chief who had bested the U.S. Army, for he had a war before this. It was called the Massacre, Fetterman's Massacre. He was a brilliant warrior. He had bested the U.S. Army, and Red Cloud was invited to deliver a speech at the Cooper Institute in Manhattan. In it, he reiterated his belief that the treaty he signed protected the territory he had fought for. No one who listened to Red Cloud's speech yesterday could doubt that he's a man of great talents, wrote the editors of the New York Times, describing him as a man of brains, a good ruler, an eloquent speaker, an able general, and a fair diplomat. This did not mean that those in power were prepared to meet his demands. It was during this journey that Red Cloud, a quick learner, ultimately realized, and listen to this, the futility of his aspirations. Though he managed to wrangle minor concessions from the government, a new trading post 40 miles north of Fort Laramie was promised, for instance, and he may have considered himself the equal of any white man he encountered on his trip east, he had finally recognized the limitations of the Western Sioux Nation as an entity. He told Secretary of the Interior Joseph P. Cox, "Now we are melting like snow on the hillside, while you are growing like spring grass." Or, as one still militant Lakota warrior put it in his return, Red Cloud saw too much. Did he change his ideas? No. Was he still an Indian warrior, still a brave? He saw too much. He saw strength and understood that it was futile to fight that strength. Was there a war fought? No. He saw strength, and so no war was needed. No more battles were fought for him. There were other battles for our nation, and only a few months later at the Little Bighorn, Sitting Bull, and Custer. Are you with me? But understand what happened that day. No war was needed. He saw too much. His warriors said he saw too much. It wasn't going to happen. It wasn't worth it. If we Christians stand up and say enough is enough, that's our God. This is our house. This is our church. This is our state. That's our city. That's our green. And we stand up and say enough is enough. If we all gather together as one, it will be that they will see too much. Are you with me? It will be if we rise up against nations and we rise up against people who are killing other people and not even fight a battle, but just show them it's not worth it. It will be. We don't have to change ideology. When I read that, I realized that we don't have to change anybody's ideology. We just have to show them that it's not worth it. And Christians, whether you're at St. Mary's, whether you're a Catholic, whether you're a Presbyterian, a Methodist, if we all just stood up and just raised our hands and said enough, we've had enough. As Christians, as we want the best for you, amen? We judge nobody. We want the best for unbelievers. If somebody came in here and he was an unbeliever, we would bless them, would we not? We wouldn't ridicule them. We would raise them up. We would say we love you. When we are, look around you and see how many people were blessed by the work of few. You understand? When God blesses, we all receive the blessing. Amen? So we have to stand up and say, we need to stand together and be heard. That's the way you win the battle. You say, well, that was about an Indian warrior. Now when the Queen of Sheba came, by the way, it's the 2 Chronicles 9, Dominic. When the Queen of Sheba was somebody with wealth. She was very proud and very wealthy and had a lot. She just was just herself, if you know what I mean, amen? Heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to Jerusalem to test Solomon with hard questions, having a very retinue, camels that bore spices, gold in abundance, and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions. How many? There was nothing so difficult for Solomon that he could not explain it to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, when she saw the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers and their apparel, and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. No more spirit in her. All her ideas, all her energy, all her wants, all how great she thought she was taken away when she saw the greatness of God. Amen. When she saw the greatness of God and she saw what Solomon had because of who? The Bible says there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to her king, "It is true report which I've heard on my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe their words until I came and saw with my own eyes." Now, what did we say that Red Cloud did? He saw. Amen. When she said, "When I saw with my own eyes, and indeed the half of the greatness of your wisdom was not told to me, you exceed the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men." Listen to what she's saying. "Happy are your men, and happy are those your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you, setting you on his throne to be king for the Lord your God. Because your God has loved Israel to establish them forever, therefore he made you king over them to do justice and righteousness." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, spices in great abundance, and precious stones. There were never any such spices such as those the queen of Sheba gave to the king Solomon. Also the servants of Hiram and the servants of Solomon, who brought gold from Ophir, brought algum wood and precious stones. And listen, the king made walkways of the algum wood for the house of the Lord and for the king's house. Also harps and string instruments for singers. Listen to that. Please listen to that. And you know that when Bill is playing his guitar, wherever he's playing, my wife and I are singing. Understand, it's right here. It said also harps and string instruments for singers. That's in the Bible. Amen. It's so important what we all do as a family. And there were none such of these seen before the land of Judah. Now, I want you to listen to this last little verse. Understand, the queen saw all that. She saw too much. She could not fight against Solomon. She could not argue against Solomon. She could not disagree with him. She couldn't raise a finger to him. How many battles were fought? None. How many people died? None. It was strength. Amen. And he was a gentle. You notice he didn't boast about his strength. He didn't brag about it because she could what? See it. The general in Ulysses S. Grant didn't brag to Red Cloud what we had. What did he do? He saw it. And it changed. He saw it and it changed it. Now listen to those people. Listen to what Solomon did. And listen to those, even unbelievers in this world, even people who come against us. When we stand up as Christians, we stand up for God. Listen to what happened. Now King Solomon gave to the queen. What did he do? All she desired, whatever she asked, much more than she had brought to the king. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. Blessed. Amen. Do you understand when God has your back, how you fight the battle? How you deal with things when God has your back? Listen to this. This is 7:14, 2 Chronicles. And you know it by heart. I know you do. But I want you to listen because God is talking to you, Seth. Amen. God is talking to you now, Mr. Art. Hi, Art. We love him. If my people, who are my people? Who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. And I will forgive their sin and heal their land. He will heal our land if we turn to God. He will take care of these. God has our back. God is just waiting for us to act, amen? And we don't act in a, we don't yell and scream and holler and demand. We just act as Christians. We stand up in numbers. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Religion and morality are indispensable supports. George Washington said this, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." Now, this is something that I want you to listen to. My heart is on this, and I told some people last week, Joseph and Mary, I was telling them, but to establish, not to the free exercise of religion, to the establishment, the First Amendment, separation of church and state shall not establish a religion, amen? But it never, never, not to the free exercise of religion. Are you with me? It was never intended that we stop talking about God. We stop sharing God. It was just only intended that one religion cannot overtake and establish it as a country. And I wrote this here because I wrote the Ten Commandments. What religion does this establish? None. None. Amen. This doesn't make us anything more than my Yankee bank makes this a Yankee church. Are you with me? No, that's true. Do you think about that? This isn't a religion. This isn't establishing a religion. This is God's laws and moralities. But I would ask anybody, even an unbeliever, which one of these would you like to omit? Which one of these offends you? None of them. And if they say one, you know they're lying. Amen. Who would say that? Or maybe the one God above me, maybe they don't like that part. But they don't have to do that. Are you with me? But this doesn't make us anything more or anything less. This doesn't establish us as any religion. But we have the free expression of it. Having the Ten Commandments, it's amendment shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise of it. It is not a device to eradicate all religion content from everybody, God-sponsored activity or building. It's not meant to take God away, but we're allowing it. Amen? Maybe we're allowing it for whatever reason you have, but I'm telling you, God has your back. You just stand up and say, no, that's just not going to be right. That's not tolerance. Anybody know the word tolerance? Toleration is the practice of deliberately allowing or permitting a thing which one disapproves of. Allowing existence even though looked upon as inferior, mistaken, or harmful. As Christians, we tolerate everything because we love God. Amen. We don't agree with everything. We pray for people. We pray and we lift people up. But we're tolerant of other people's beliefs. It's when they turn and become intolerant of us that we have to stand up and say, God's got my back. And you don't argue with people because that's a war, amen? You don't fight with somebody because that's a war, amen? And we don't want to fight with people, amen? We don't want to argue. So what we do is what the Bible says. We show them. We show them who we are. We stand up and say, no. We stand up in unity. This church today has to stand up in unity. That's why I'm saying the tree and the branches. We have to be as strong as we possibly can be together. Together. And the stronger we are, these Christians are just the beginning of the blessings. This isn't the end of the blessings. How many know that? How many know that this is not the end of the blessings? This is part of the blessing. This is receiving blessings. You are more than conquerors. Do you believe it? If you don't, then God said, why did I tell you? You're more than conquerors. Amen. God is saying, you're more than conquerors. We're talking about fighting battles. We can fight battles together, but you can fight battles at work. You can fight battles at school. You can fight battles at home. Being more than conquerors. Standing up and just letting Jesus lead you. Amen. Letting Jesus lead your lips, what you say and how you act. You're his children. Amen. You're his children. No matter where you go and hear the word of God, know that you're his children, Dale. You're his daughter. He loves you. He wants to lift you even higher. It's never, today is never all there is. Can you say that with me? Today is never all there is with God. All things are possible. And he said, George Marsh, you are more than a conqueror. How much you want to grab of that is all for you. But he said, I got your back. Marilyn, he said, I got your back. I got it. Go ahead and stand out in faith. And we need to stand up as Christians and just stand in faith. And we stand in numbers and the people will see it. Amen. And their spirits will be where they should be. You know, when I'm saying what, like I said with Sheba and like with Red Cloud, he said, I saw too much. We can't change ideologies, but we can change by standing up together the things that we see, amen? And then when you do, understand this, all will be blessed. Hallelujah. See, even my enemies, Pastor Larry, will be blessed. You betcha. That's the most fun. Praise God. Okay. The Lord's Supper. Paul telling us this is a memorial service that will soon turn into a celebration. When Jesus with his disciples, he blessed and broke that bread, saying, "This is my body being torn for you." He said to eat and do this in remembrance of him, simply remembering what he did for us on that cross. In Jesus' name. This is a great time to pray to God. Use this moment to pray to God. Use this moment to thank him. He has your back. Nothing is impossible with God. People will see that light in you. They will see it. They will see it and know there's something different about you. Our Father who art in heaven. If our Father lives in heaven, we need to act like it. On earth as it is in heaven, we need to change every day more to get it there. We need to do more to have this earth than as it is in heaven. He said we can do that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In strength there is peace, because in strength there is no need for war. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. On that cross for you. He rose again for you. He sits at the right hand of his Father for you. Thank you, Lord. And he simply asked that we do this in remembrance of him. In Jesus' name. Deacon Chuck, I'm going to ask you so that the church can hear in faith. For years we've been saying we need more bread and we need more wine. I'm going to ask you if we can put out 3 dishes of bread and 3 things of wine on Sundays in faith. I know they're not here yet, but I want God to see, hey, they're acting in faith. Maybe I better do it. Anything that shows faith, saying it's more than we have, that's faith. Seeing that this church will be full, we have to show God, hey, we see it already. That's why we do it in faith. More, because God can. There was a time in the Bible where he only hit the rock a few times, and God said, why did you only strike the rock? should have struck it seven times, I would have given you so much more. I don't want that to happen here. I want him to bless us so much that we stand here and we don't even, just awe, trusting God. Hallelujah. He took that wine and he poured it into a cup and he said, this is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins, according to the book of Matthew. And said to do this in remembrance of him. Sometimes acting in faith seems a little strange. But we're calling on God. We're not calling on man. And we show God our faith. He honors that faith. He sees a church in faith. Believing every week in faith. He cannot deny himself. Let's be that church. Praise the Lord. Let's be that church. Please be careful with the wine. If those balconies were full when they built this church, or they just built those balconies in faith. Often wondering, see these big windows, why they made them so large, or they just did it in faith to show the beauty of God's house. When they put that organ in, did they put it in faith, or they want everything that they could get for God? It's our time. Our time. Our time. I'm excited. Just so excited. Great to see people up in the balcony. That'd be awesome. Church, we're remembering what Jesus did for us. Ask that your heart be clean, to remove the iniquities, and ask God to remove them, and just thank him and accept him in Jesus' name. I hope you're as humble as I am. This is so beautiful. Give him praise, church.